Blog Talk Radio.
Wandering around, wondering why I hit the glass with so much speed. What was I doing that I didn't see the glass? I was moving way too fast. I was moving way too fast. Felt like I was standing still. So I tried to gain some speed with my mind and with my will, wanting to feel something moving in me, moving like the fishes in the sea, rushing to get it done, needing to be one with the one, with the real vibration, sweet liberation.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Enlighten Up Radio. Thank you for joining us. This is Lisa Sahakian, joining you live every Monday morning from anywhere I am across the globe. Today, I'm coming to you live from Carlsbad, California, landed again after my travels in Maui. I'm here back in California and back to the business of life. I tuned in and checked out for a little while, and it was magnificent, but I'm back, and it's time to start applying these tools to my everyday living. And let me tell you, Enlighten Up listeners, global listeners, I appreciate you all so much. Everything that you're all doing in the world, everything that you're all up to in the world, the things that I'm not even aware of. When I had an opportunity to actually unplug for 3 months, I created that. Yes, I definitely take responsibility for that. But I really, you know how hard that was for me to do that. And what I really realized is how much is happening on the planet that I must start plugging into. Joining forces to the one tribe that's happening on the planet. So once again, if you're listening to Enlighten Up Radio for the first time, I am your hostess, Lisa Sahakian, and what we do on Enlighten Up Radio, we tune in on every Monday morning. We tune in, we turn on, we check in, we gain some tangible tools for our better living, or maybe self-actualized, self-realized, a more enlightened way of being. So what we do is we have conversations, we have live call-in, and to this this moment in time, I've got an amazing speaker series. Enlighten Up Radio is now a proud co-sponsor of the Building the New World Conference taking place May 28th through the 31st, 2015 in Radford, Virginia. Barbara Marks Hubbard is one of the 50 luminaries from around the world who will speak about the Wheel of Creation and how to manifest it. And then you can also join me there. I will give a presentation on net neutrality and corporate-owned media. Very interesting topic. Actually, what's so fascinating about that topic is liberals and conservatives tend to agree on that topic, so we can get on more of that later. That's just a little teaser for you. And then what we do is we just get together and have a good time, pardon me, share this information and really learn to enlighten up ourselves and in life in general. But, you know, how do we do this? The world is changing. We've got such polarities happening right now, such polarities. We've got an entirely old paradigm and an entirely new paradigm. Both are thriving, wanting the attention and intention of the world. You've got so much happening, and how do we manage? How do we navigate? How do we learn to really make this world a better place, not only on the inside, but on the outside? Well, this week's guest, we've got Glenn T. Martin, Dr. Glenn Martin, who is a PhD, a professor of philosophy at Radford University in Virginia, and the chairperson of the Radford University program in peace studies. How lovely is that? Now, Radford University is going to be the university that's hosting the BTNW.org, buildingthenewworld.org, and we want to thank them once again, our sponsors, but you definitely want to go to that website and just get some information. You know, we would love for you to attend. We're going to do our best to do any kind of live streaming that we can. see if you can attend, but most of all, get familiar with some of this information that's being shared, because it's really quite vital in navigating through the world that's happening right now. So back to Dr. Martin. Dr. Martin has worked in service, in the service of world peace with justice for many years, traveling and lecturing worldwide and authoring many books and articles on behalf of a holistic and transformed global paradigm and world system under the Constitution for the Federation of Earth. The Constitution for the Federation of Earth. That's just magnificent. Dr. Martin is the president of the Institute of World Problems, IOWP, and the president of the World Constitution and Parliament Association, the WCPA. As a result of Dr. Martin's peace teachings across the planet, he's received several international awards, including Peace Prize, internationally in Manila, in the Philippines in 2013. Well, no wonder I couldn't explain it. Dr. Martin, you'll correct me once I bring you on. He's also the author of, check out these titles of these books, listeners, Enlightened listeners, you're going to love this. He's the author or editor of 10 books in total, including Millennium Dawn, The Philosophy of Planetary Crisis and Human Liberation, wow, and The Anatomy of a Sustainable World, Our Choice Between Climate Change or System Change. And his forthcoming book is entitled The World, One World Renaissance, The New Transformative Holism, and Our Global Social Contract. Now, I know that this is a lot to take off and bite on a Monday morning, Monday afternoon, wherever you're listening, or those of you who are listening after on the archive show, thank you so much. And just a moment, you know, thanks to all the archived listeners and all the listeners across the planet. This gentleman is making a difference in the world. He is a distinguished professor at Radford University, and it is my great pleasure and honor to bring him on. Good morning, good afternoon, Dr. Martin. Thank you so much for being on Enlighten Up Radio.
Good morning, Lisa. It's a pleasure to be here.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure getting to know you before the show started. We had a little moment to dialogue with one another and see about the peace activism that's happening on the planet. You bring two worlds together that are very dear to my heart. When I was first introduced to world politics, it was through a very philosophical, liberal professor. And he brought politics into my heart, into my world, into my mind at 18, when I first really started listening at 18. But he did it in a way where it had humanitarian aspects to it, where I could actually understand and really take heart to the words that he was saying, but more importantly, start taking ownership of my impact in the world and in politics and peace and whatnot. So let me ask you, you know, how did you get into philosophy? I mean, this was, I'm sure, a while ago. What was the impetus that inspired you to be a philosopher?
Well, it was a long time ago, some 50 years ago, and I was 19 years old. But I had, for some reason, I was a young person, I had tremendous discontent with the world. You know, it seemed horrible to me. And when I was 19, I read this book called The Inward Mourning by H.G. Bugbee. You know, The Inward Mourning. And he was a professor at Harvard University at that time, and he framed life as a perpetual journey of awakening and illumination. And so every day in this book, he would keep a journal about the things he encountered, the things he had read and understood and so on. And that book really spoke to me. I began to see life after that as a journey, as an exciting kind of adventure of continual newness and illumination. And what happened to me by the time I finished graduate school, a number of years after that, was that I began to see the same process for humanity. In other words, my life, it isn't just my life that's a continual process of illumination, but I'm inseparable from being a human being and from this human project that we all share. And therefore, I'm participating in and trying to contribute to the same process for humanity, the process of growth and transformation. So in a nutshell, that's kind of what I understand philosophy to be and how I got into it.
That is powerful. That's very powerful. Let me ask you this side question, since we were doing well here on timing. Why do you, I'm feeling called to ask you this question, why do you feel people are so hesitant to sit down and embrace, and not even embrace, entertain philosophy, you know, spirituality? What do you think is the block globally on the planet?
That's a deep question, right?
It is.
As a philosopher, I would give you the caveat that you know, we could take hours to explore that with you, you know, in a discussion. But part of what I might answer is that we live under systems. You mentioned in your introductory talk that you know we're involved in a paradigm shift, and we live under systems right now that we inherit from very old paradigms, hundreds of years old. The global economic system, globalized capitalism, and the nation state system, which is right now is 193 nations, mostly militarized and ready to kill and bomb other
ready
people.
Ready to go. Yeah.
It seems to me that these systems are so pervasive everywhere I go in the world. They're the dominant systems. I was just in India over December, and the people in India are defending the fact that their country has these nuclear weapons. They say, we need them, you know, we need them because Pakistan has them and so on. And so in a nutshell, to at least gesture toward your very deep question that I think would, you know, would take a lot of discussion. I think that these paradigms, institutions, really block our capacity for looking at the world and feeling the world in a truly wonderful and new way. I think our everyday lives are so informed by these institutions that they make people fear or make people think that the possibility of transformation is not a real one. It's not right there waiting to be grasped in some way.
Yeah, there's an exclusion of global participation in the dialogue. There's a lot of compartmentalizing of systems and societies, and and what's lacking is really inclusivity. You know, the one tribe, the oneness kind of dialogue. It's fascinating.
Yes.
It's fascinating. Well, we can definitely take that dialogue deeper, hopefully, when we see each other at the Building the New World conference. I sure look forward to hearing not only what you're up to, but everyone else is up to. It's going to be a fantastic event, don't you think?
I think so. I'm excited about it. Yeah.
Me too. Me too. Laura George. Thank you, Laura George, for putting all this together. So, she's a great lady. So having said that, we talk about bringing tangible tools. You know, Enlighten Up Radio is really a place where a hub, a place where people can connect and really have something to take away, you know. Tangible tools is what I call it, to learn to enlighten up on themselves and in life in general. A lot of people are saying, you know, obtain inner peace. A lot of people are saying be open-minded. A lot of people are saying nonviolent. But, you know, how do we do it? And what's nice is you speak of systems. And I'd like you to explain to our global listeners, how did you get into this, these systems of Earth Constitution and world government? Can you explain to our listeners what that means, how it impacts us, how we utilize it, however you feel called to describe it so the listeners can actually really take a bite out of it and utilize it in their days, you know?
Well, I can try. I've been, since I was, you might remember when I was in college, they still had a draft in this country, and they had the Vietnam War going on, and I had to make a decision. I thought that war was horrible, and so on, and there was, of course, there was all kinds. We were protesting against it, and there were all kinds of things going on campuses. But I asked myself, you know, it made me face the question of war. You know, would I go to war? Do I believe in war? Is war? And I finally decided that there was something just impossible about that. To go out at the command of some government and kill people you didn't know or whatever, that war was just unacceptable. So I became a conscientious objector to war, and that led one thing led to another as I began to think about the, you know, all the implications of that and the life of nonviolence and so on, and that led me into peace studies, which after graduate school I came here to Radford University in 1985, and the first thing I did as a professional philosopher was join international and national peace philosophers organizations, Concerned Philosophers for Peace and International Philosophers for Peace. So I worked for years on peace, thinking about it, and trying to reflect on how are we going, we human beings, going to realize a world that is peaceful as well as just. And of course, I read books and literature about that, and gave papers at conferences about that for 10 years. And it was even though I had insights, I had insights into the need for inner peace and its relationship to outer peace and so on, I just didn't feel that there was a comprehensive solution that human beings could grasp and that would be practical enough to really to disarm us from all these nuclear weapons and these horrible things that are being developed all the time in the world. And then finally in 1995, I saw an ad in These Times, which was a news journal that I subscribed to, and it was an ad from the World Constitution and Parliament Association about democratic world government under the Constitution for the Federation of Earth. And even though I knew that there was such a thing as world federalism, it never really struck me before, and I immediately went to Colorado, where their headquarters was, and met with the people and started finding out about it. And I realized that here is something that human beings can do. And it changes, and I began thinking about this at great length. It changes the paradigm under which the Earth operates now, which is fragmented among 193 mostly militarized entities.
And fragmented and fearful, Dr. Martin.
Pardon?
Don't you think? It's fragmented and fearful. The world is
is
just in absolute fear. Please carry on.
Yeah. And the fragmentation breeds fear, right?
Yes.
And the fact, you know, in much of my travels, in third world countries, the poverty is just immense, and it's connected with, you know, the people in the third world countries are like in prison. You know, people born poor in Nicaragua can't get a visa. Even if they could afford to leave the country, they can't get a visa because no one wants them, right? No one wants poor people. And the world is just so fragmented. And I realize the implications of democratic world law, really democratic world law, which transforms the economic premises of our planet as well as the political premises of it. It unites us under a holistic framework. And it's very fundamental to realize that it's not just, you know, people say, oh, we're worried about global tyranny or whatever. But the framework that this Constitution is based on, which I've studied, of course, at great length, is holistic. And holism means that the very premises of the way people operate, the way government will operate, the way people will participate with one another within that framework will be transformed. And so this is what excited me. And since 1995, when I became a member of WCPA, I've been studying this and writing about it and thinking about it and traveling worldwide in connection with it. And it finally led to my being president of the organization, which I never expected to happen. But, you know, that's what at the Building the New World Conference in May, that I'm in charge of the justice and governance sector of the 11 sectors of presenters, and we'll be talking about that, you know, and we'll be trying to dialogue with all the other interesting people coming there about this aspect of the paradigm shift, you know, that's going on in the world.
Wow, that's very powerful. And again, it's very, just the word inclusive keeps coming to mind. It just seems so much more inclusive and holistic when you say holistic too. How realistic is a constitution for the Federation of Earth? How realistic is it? Is that in its application right now on the planet?
Well, I think it's important to distinguish between the Constitution for the Federation of Earth and some of the idealistic documents, which are excellent, like the Earth Charter or the Millennium Development Goals. You know, these are statements of the ideals of what should happen on the Earth. The Earth Charter is beautiful. It says we should be living in a sustainable and peaceful world system and so on. But they're not constitutions, and they do not set up governmental mechanisms by which we can actually achieve those things. And that's what's unique about the Earth Constitution. If one studies it, you know, it's like any quality constitution, any good constitution. It sets up mechanisms by which decisions can be made, and by which authority can be distributed, by which knowledge can be applied to our most basic problems, how to eliminate poverty, how to protect the resources of the earth, and so on. All these things are in there in concrete systems by which people can actually work and do things. And in terms of ratifying it, it has one article, as all good constitutions do, on what makes it legitimate, what makes it ratified. That's Article 17. And so under Article 17, there are three stages in the ratification process. And the framers, I wasn't one of the framers. It was framed by hundreds of world citizens during the 1970s, 80s, and 90s. But the framers understood that they made ratification of the Constitution practical and possible by making it, giving it these three stages in the ratification process. So there's an initial stage, which is not at all impossible for the people and nations of the world to achieve, I won't go into the details of it right now, but mm-hmm. you know, to answer your question, you know, this is a real possibility for humanity. You know, facing mm-hmm. and given the terrible possibility of climate collapse, the terrible appearance of resources, of clean water that people need. Agricultural land is disappearing at the same time that the global population is increasing, right? The terrible weapons that are being developed, including more and more proliferation of weapons of mass destruction worldwide. Mm-hmm. In the face mm-hmm. of these things, we have a concrete option that we human beings could pursue. Yeah. And a second thing about this Constitution is Article 19, because Article 19 says that the people of Earth have the right and the duty right now, even before it's ratified, to begin the various ministries, the various functions that are outlined by the Constitution. We don't need to wait, you know, if the nations or people don't, you know, are postponing the ratification process, there's things we can do right now, in the here and now. And one of the things that's been done by the World Constitutional Parliament Association most fully is creating sessions of the Provisional World Parliament. We've had 13 sessions of that parliament. It began in 1982 in various nations and cities around the world, and the 14th session of that parliament is coming up in Kolkata, India, next December.
Fantastic.
So, yeah.
So you're building, you and your colleagues are building bridges to make this world, to make all of this possible. You really are building a bridge between two very distinct, seemingly different worlds, and making a better world for everybody is in essence an oversimplified description of what you're doing. You're really building bridges.
Well, that's what we're trying to do. We're right now we're trying to build the infrastructure, the mm-hmm. conceptual and actual institutional infrastructure for creating a new world. Yeah. And,
beautiful.
Yeah.
That's so powerful, Dr. Martin. This conference, having this conversation with you today, I know it's inspiring me, and I know that it's inspiring our listeners across the globe. And the good news is that now we've got a good 30 minutes of a radio interview, so we can start sharing this information with the world. And the reason why I say that is because we all require information on the how-to. People want to know how. And unless we start sharing this information with one another and really give people ideas and objectives and tools to bridge the gap between all of these polarities in the world, unless we give people tools, everyone's kind of running around following each other, maybe a little bit like lemmings, unfortunately.
Right.
And
I
so appreciate it. And, you know, it is so powerful. When you say global, you know, climate change, you know, we don't have a lot of time on the show, and we are going to go a little bit over today. But, you know, Dr. Martin, the trade winds that happened every day between 3 and 4 on the island of Maui when I first started going there in 2006, we no longer have trade winds on the island of Maui. We no longer have trade. Isn't that devastating to hear that?
Oh, yes.
It's and so consequently the VOG, which is the volcanic smog, the volcanic sulfur, is just sitting. And people are inhaling it, and they're kind of going into this. It's incredible what's happening on the planet. And when we take the time to share with the listeners, you know, we take a moment to really disclose the realities of what's happening on the planet in a healthy way, and to not only share information but also give people solutions and tools so they can do something about it. You know, so thank you all
yeah,
that you're doing on the planet.
We have several websites too. You know, one of them mm-hmm. is www.earth-constitution.org, and mm-hmm. it will link to the other websites. So if people are interested, they can pursue this. Right? There's lots of information on the web. earth-constitution.org.
Wonderful. And if you could give the listeners some information on how to get a hold of you, that would be great.
Well, my email is gmartin@radford.edu. It's, you know, R-A-D-F-O-R-D.
.edu. Wonderful. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure talking with you, and I look so forward to meeting you at the Building the New World Conference in May.
I look forward to meeting you, too.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, thank you so much for your time, Dr. Martin. You have a great rest of your day.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. So, listeners, here we go again. We're going over a little bit in the show. Fortunately, I've got a little bit of overlap on the audio for the archived shows. So thank you so much, Dr. Martin. Thank you so much to Laura George, our sponsor in Building the New World Conference, www.btnw.org. You want to see what's happening. You want to at least check out that website. You want to read some of the bios. Take a look at the Wheel of Creation that's happening, that Wheel of Co-Creation, I should say, that's on the website. You want to start ingesting this information so it starts becoming second nature. And, you know, it's called habit and practice. Now, you don't have to do anything that I say, obviously. These are all four offerings. This is all information I share with the global radio waves to make the world a better place, to help us enlighten up on ourselves. And Dr. Martin and his colleagues, his distinguished colleagues, and I'll be meeting 50 of them in May at the Building the New World Conference. We're all up to this kind of stuff on the planet. So if you're up to something on the planet, you want to participate, you want to see, you want to be inspired, definitely check out the buildingthenewworld.org website. Come attend. It would be fantastic to see you there. It's very exciting. I can't even imagine what it's going to be like. I'm going to be doing a live interview for my YouTube channel with Barbara Marks Hubbard. So we'll be doing a live video interview with Barbara Marks Hubbard, who's going to be the keynote speaker. And ultimately, I just want to really thank everyone for taking a moment out of their Mondays or whenever you're listening to this to really tune in, turn on, and get some vital tools, some necessary information to help you navigate through this really interesting life that we're living right now. Thank you so much to all of our listeners across the globe. Thank you so much to our sponsor, Laura George, and Building the New World Conference. You definitely want to check out that website. To Ricky Byers Beckwith for her musical inspiration on the show. Thank you to Dr. Martin. Thank you, everyone, for listening. You have a marvelous day. May the longtime sun shine upon you. May all love surround you. And may the pure light within you guide your way on. Love, joy, peace to all souls.
Wandering around, wondering what. I hit the glass with so much speed. What was I doing that I didn't see the glass? I was moving way too fast. I was moving way too fast. Felt like I was standing still. So I tried to gain some speed with my mind and with my will, wanting to feel something moving in me, moving like the fishes in the sea, rushing to get it done, needing to be one with the one, with the real vibration, sweet liberation, rushing to get it done, needing to be one with the one, with the one. Working it out, she's wondering why. She married in such haste, there was no way to know that her dream of love was sweeter than the truth that came to pass. And the dream is still a dream, especially when you're moving fast. She was moving way too fast, felt like she was moving slow. So she tried to gain some speed with her mind, and off she goes, wanting to feel something deeper within. Seems like a power in the wind, rushing to get it.